This podcast is part of the Deluxe Edition Network. To find other great shows on the network, head over to deluxeeditionnetwork.com. That's deluxeeditionnetwork.com.
What's up, Goreheads, and welcome to another episode of the Extreme Horror Replay Podcast. I am here with my beautiful wife, Nancy. Say hello, Nancy.
Hello, Nancy.
And happy Friday the 13th. It is Friday the 13th as we record this. But the movie that we are actually covering today is not Friday the 13th. It is Halloween from 1978. This is one of Nancy's picks.
The OG.
The OG. If you remember from a few weeks ago, Nancy won the, she won five picks for her. She gets five picks because she garnered that many points on the game show that I put together for her. So this was one of her picks.
I won five movies of my choice.
Yes, that would have been a hell of a lot easier to say originally. yes, this is one of her picks. Halloween 1978. But before we get into the movie, we do have a Would You Rather, and this time it was my turn to pick one. So, okay, hun, this one's really bad. This is not on par with yours. Would you rather be stalked by Michael Myers, or in celebration of Friday the 13th, would you rather be stalked by Jason Voorhees?
Sorry. Well, there are many parallels between Jason Voorhees and Michael Myers.
Okay.
They're both have masks so you can't see their face. They both don't talk.
Correct.
Which gives them that air of like
spookiness.
Right. Yeah, one that has a motive. The original motive for Michael Myers is to kill babysitters.
Right.
And the motive for Jason Voorhees is to kill camp counselors.
I think Jason pretty much kills anyone.
Yeah. Well, and we find out that Michael Myers will pretty much kill anyone, but
right.
The original title was The Babysitter Murders or something.
The Babysitter Killer, I think. Babysitter Killer.
Yeah. So that's a toughie. They both have like psychological backstories that led them to their
right
mindset. I would have to say Michael Myers, because it just got a little bit too supernatural with Jason, like him living in the lake and then like seeing in his mind. It wasn't plausible to me.
Okay. But what about the supernatural aspect of Michael Myers in terms of like the thorn, that whole thorn thing that they did in part six?
We're not talking about that. We're talking about this one. I hate the franchises that they just become nonsense. They become about nothing.
Right. Which most of them do after, the first three or four.
So I'm basing this on just the first Friday the 13th and the first Halloween. And they came out not too far away from each other, maybe within a year or two.
Halloween was 78. I think Friday the 13th was 80.
So they're on par with each other when it comes to. Right. And so obviously there's a lot of parallels drawn between the two killers. One just does people at a camp. One does people... Anybody?
In a town.
Yeah. So I would be more afraid of Michael Myers.
Michael Myers?
Yeah.
So you'd rather be stalked by... Okay, if you're more afraid of Michael Myers, would you rather be stalked by him or stalked by Jason?
I would say Michael Myers.
Okay. You think you'd have more fun with Michael Myers?
Right now, I'm saying Michael Myers. Would I have more fun?
Yeah.
I don't know. I like Halloween. I like spooky movies. He and I might get along pretty well.
I don't think he's a movie watcher.
I could say, hey, that's William Shatner's mask, and it's just spray painted white.
And he'd be all like, who the fuck is William Shatner? I've been locked up in an institution for the last 16 years.
Okay, but he knows how to drive, which is, I mean, he's driving right. We're watching it right now. Yeah.
See, I think I
you've been on like how many test drives with Griffin before he learns.
Oh my gosh.
It takes a while to learn how to drive like a normal person. And Michael Myers has never even had a road test, never taken driver's ed.
That we know of.
He's been locked up this entire time.
He's been reading books on the inside.
That's right. Yeah, I'd be afraid of him for sure.
Okay. All right. Fair answer. See, I would rather, I think Jason would be more fun. Jason's just a killing machine.
Wait, you would think it would be fun to be killed by Jason?
I think it would be fun to be stalked by him, yes.
Fun?
Well, okay. Jason, Michael Myers only kills the people that get in his way. Mm-hmm. Jason kills people regardless of...
willy-nilly.
Yeah, exactly. He just kills willy-nilly. So I think being stalked by him and running away from him would be a little bit more fun. I don't know that it would be fun, but
you like the challenge?
Well, yeah. Yeah. I think it would be more challenging.
But Michael Myers can like lift somebody up and like put a knife through them and stick them to the wall just with the knife alone. Mm,
see, that goes back to my whole Deathbusters idea. Can you really stick somebody to a wall with a 12-inch butcher knife? Right,
exactly. You really can.
So, yeah, I think it would be more fun to be stalked by Jason, personally.
All right.
Because he just, he kills with no regard to anyone. So, yeah, final answer, Jason.
My final answer, Michael Myers.
All right. Okay. So, yes, the movie, again, Halloween from 1978, scores a 7.7 on IMDb and a 3.8 out of 5 on Letterboxd. This is one of those movies now. Okay, I said it in the last episode. Jamie Lee Curtis, and I said her last name right this time.
Not Jamie Lee Lewis.
Jamie Lee Curtis. Right. Her and Charlie Bucket from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory have never been seen in the same room together. Now, okay, and this is a deep question. Do you think about everything that you know about Laurie Strode. Mm-hmm. Do you think she could potentially be on the spectrum? She's good with kids. Mm-hmm. She's focused on school. She's socially awkward. She gives that goofy laugh at that one point, that laugh.
Yeah, but she's super smart.
Okay, yes.
But see, I don't think she's on the spectrum. I think maybe quite the opposite. Maybe she's a sociopath.
Or you think Lori's a sociopath?
Yeah.
Okay. Why?
Well, she pretty much she's in denial for the entire movie right up until Jason Michael Myers is like right up in her face.
In her grill.
Right.
She's in denial that he exists.
She's in denial. Even she thought that she killed him with a knitting needle.
Right. Okay.
And that would have to be pretty. I think she thinks that she was all powerful. And she even said to Tommy Doyle, she said, I killed him. No, you didn't.
Well, right. Obviously. Because he comes back for like, what, 8 sequels?
Yeah. So I think if anything, if she had any kind of like, I'm no doctor, obviously. Well, I'm not a psychologist.
You're a doctor, but you're not.
Yeah, I'm not that kind of. I would think that if as a layman, I would say if anything, she was a sociopath, not on the spectrum, because you don't get along with people, and she's very like, and she said guys think that she's too smart. A lot of teenage girls
intimidating two guys.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And she's got, her two slut friends, which doesn't help.
Okay, but see, we know people on the spectrum. Mm-hmm. They have their small group of friends. Mm-hmm. They are also good with children. Mm-hmm. They also laugh goofily. They are also socially awkward. I think that totally encompasses Laurie Strode. I think the fact that she attacked Michael. I was going to say Jason too.
It's hard.
I had to double think it. I think the fact that she attacked Jason,
we just watched Friday the 13th. That's why.
I think that the fact that she attacked Michael, thought he was dead, didn't verify it. And this kind of goes back to like basically every horror movie where they don't do the double tap. But the fact that she attacked him, thought he was dead. And then just like you said, she didn't have the situational awareness to realize that he wasn't in fact dead.
Mm-hmm. I think that's why I think her ego was like.
So you just think her ego got in the way.
Well, I mean, you can obviously see that she thinks that she's on a different level than her friends.
Well, she does think she's better than
them.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
And then Tommy talks about how he's scared about the boogeyman. And she's like, I'm here.
I wouldn't let anything.
Yeah, I wouldn't let anything. So, and even though that's something any babysitter would say.
Mm-hmm.
She actually thinks that when the boogeyman comes and she sticks a knitting needle into his body, like that she killed him, which is like grandiose. You just can't, you know, and that's like typical of a sociopath. They're like grandiose. They think they're like larger than life. They think they're more capable of doing, you know.
Right. Okay. All right. Well,
I just think she thinks her shit doesn't stink, in my opinion.
I'm going to put this one down and. Here's where we introduce Nancy's, we talked about this briefly. I'm going to disagree with that one.
She's walking around, she's wearing a turtleneck, and she, in this, the scene where she sees the first trick-or-treaters come around, and it's still daylight, I don't know what that's all about, but
yeah.
She's coming home from school.
Yeah, it's gotta be like, what, 3:20 at the latest. Yeah.
She's walking around, she's got a cardigan, which I can respect, but she's got like a turtleneck and she's obviously not wearing a bra.
That would go to the situational awareness.
But I back in the 70s though, they just didn't wear bras. Okay, I know because I've been watching like Three's Company, like around the clock.
So take the bra part out of it. Technically I know it's supposed to be fall, even though mm-hmm. it takes place in, I mean, it's Halloween. Yeah,
they had to bring in the
leaves and everything. Leaves,
yeah.
I don't know. So I'm going to put this on the disagree check mark for.
I will say, yeah, I totally disagree with your opinion on this. I just have to agree to disagree on this.
So what we're trying to do, Nancy's idea, this is kind of something to add to the not only the gore score and the overall score, but we're going to call it the agreeability factor. And this is something Nancy had come up. Now, we've talked in the past about how Nancy is an epidemiologist and she has to go through and kind of work these situations to what's the best way to say it? How do you say this? Basically, her whole job is research and analytics and finding like patient zero kind of thing. I'm really wording this incorrectly, but you get the gist of it. If you've ever seen the movie Contagion, basically what it is like Kate Winslet's character. She's an epidemiologist. She has to go out. She has to find the hows and the whys and everything. So what we want to do is work in Nancy's idea, and we're going to call it agreeability factor, and what that is, and then we'll also tally that out. Now, it may have 5 points, it may have 10 points, it just depends on the movie, kind of, but that's what we're going to kind of work into the show. And hopefully we can get it fleshed out. This is like our trial run right now. So, yeah, to be continued. But, okay, so let's dig into the plot.
It'll be a lot more appropriate for movies like if we do like the original Night of the Living Dead, which we should do.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we just watched Return
of the Living Dead.
That would be a huge thing that my expertise because we spent like 45 minutes talking about that. Yeah. We watched it last night.
And we were talking. Nancy was talking. Well, is that a vector based illness or an airborne based illness? So
there's biting.
So yeah, we're gonna tweak it. We're gonna play with it a little bit.
We're still gonna work out the glitches and stuff. But yeah. I gotta use. I owe like $100,000 in student loans.
Gotta put it to use. Okay, so let's get into this movie. So Judith and her boyfriend are a sucking face. Judith is Michael's older sister. Michael ends up killing Judith after her boyfriend leaves. He goes upstairs. He stabs her a few times. You get to see a couple boobies.
She's sitting at her vanity brushing her hair naked, which all girls do at that age.
I'll take your word for it because I've never seen it other than in the movie.
No, doesn't happen.
So, yeah, Michael ends up stabbing her like four or five times, kills her dead. At this point, this is where we're introduced to Dr. Loomis. Everybody knows who Dr. Loomis is. I mean, he is played by Donald Pleasance. You know, he's...
the original Dr. Evil.
Now that you mention it, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that.
He actually was.
Was he?
Yeah. Like, he was who Mike Myers based his character off of.
I did not know that.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah, it is.
Oh, wow. Okay. So...
$1 million.
Okay. Wow. I had no idea.
Even the cat was part of it.
There's no cats in this movie, though.
No, Dr. Evil, the original.
Oh,
Where it came from. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, you learn something new every day. I did not know that. We're introduced to Dr. Loomis. He is taking a nurse to the institution that Michael has been locked up into. He obviously does not want Michael to escape. And he talks about injecting him with like 100 cc's of Thorazine. And the nurse says, oh, well, you know.
They'll like, really be able to stand up.
Yeah. And, you know, Dr. Loomis is like, well, that's the point. Yeah. You know, we don't want him to get out. So as they pull up to the institution, of course, you know, it's a rainy night. And all of the patients are walking around the courtyard or wherever the grounds. And they're all wearing their white, like, nightgowns or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon me. And Dr. Loomis, he goes up to the fence and he's like, hey, let me in. And as he's sitting there, you know, trying to talk on the phone to the gatekeeper, Michael hops on the nurse's car, smashes the window. She jumps out. He drives away. And again, this is that situation. Like, where did Michael learn to drive? He's been locked up for 16 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
And I'm sorry, was this, what, 1978? You said
78 is the movie.
Nurses did not wear the nurse's cap or the cape. That was just unnecessary. That was like back in the 30s.
Was that a cape or a cloak?
maybe somebody would know nursing history. They just did not dress like that. My mom was a nurse back during that time, and yes, she wore a white outfit, but no cap. That's more kind of like ceremonial, and it has been since about like probably late 1960s.
Oh, I have no idea.
You wear it at your graduation of nursing school.
Yeah.
But nobody really wears the cap. It's a pain in the butt.
You know, I think through every Halloween movie, well, especially 1 and 2, because they took place, there was a nurse, and then obviously Halloween 2, it was in the hospital. They had the caps on then too.
Yeah. And I think it's just symbolic and ceremonial of a nurse. You know, I mean, it's like, I don't know. It's not something that you see. I mean, they did that on Three's Company, you know, and that was like, I think when Terry came on, it was like 1982, maybe. And she was wearing a nurse's cap, and yeah, that it just did not happen. They didn't wear nurse's caps then.
I think that's like a way to just like, not differentiate, but like, oh, hey, I'm a nurse, even though they don't, you know, that way they don't have to say they're a nurse, even though you can tell they're a nurse.
Maybe.
So now Lori and Tommy are walking up. Now, apparently Lori's father is a real estate agent, a realtor. He gives Lori a key to drop off at the Myers house on her way to school.
Did you say realtor?
No, I said realtor.
Okay, I had to make sure you said it right.
I even put the emphasis on the tour part.
Like the commercial. Yeah.
So, Lori drops off the key. Lori drops off a key on her way to school. She sees Michael, but she doesn't really realize that Michael's watching her. Tommy goes to school and he gets bullied by some kids, gets his pumpkin smashed.
You notice it was Lonnie.
It was Lonnie.
Lonnie, yes. Something, and Lonnie comes back during the new
In the new series. Yeah.
Yeah.
The, 2018. So after, 40 or whatever years it is, 40, would that be 40? Yeah, 40.
Damn.
Halloween 40.
It's amazing that I know these things, given that I'm 29.
So Laura, or Lori, Linda, and Annie. Man, we're gassy today. Laura, Linda, and Annie meet Michael. I gotta keep changing this because I wrote Mikey the whole time.
Why Mikey?
Because it's easier to spell than Michael and shorter. So
you can call him Mikey.
Okay. So Laura, Linda, and Annie meet Mikey again. And this is the Hey Jerk Speed Kills as Mikey's
speed
driving by.
Kills.
Hey Jerk Speed Kills. And then Michael stomps on the brake. And then, of course, they keep walking.
Man, can he take a joke?
Mikey's hiding behind a bush.
Like he'd ever be able to hear her from that distance inside a car.
Oh, no. Yeah. I'm sure the windows weren't down either. So. Yeah. So Mikey's hiding behind a bush and he's doing the laundry. He's hanging out in the sheets behind Lori's house.
He really needs to get a life.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it would be so much funner to just be stalked by Jason than Michael.
That's his vendetta, is against baby. That's so lame. Babysitters? Really? See? Are you kidding me?
You're changing your vote, aren't you?
I don't know about that, but it's just, it's weak logic.
Well. That's why Jason would be more fun.
And even Dr. Loomis says that he is pure evil. He doesn't know the difference between right and wrong and blah, 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 whatever he says.
He had the blackest eyes.
Yeah, but he knows.
Stared through me.
He knows to go after babysitters. Which is, I'm just kind of asinine. It's just like. It's not realistic.
Okay.
That's why they had to change it. They had to make the plot more meaningful for part two.
Oh, that he was his sister?
Yeah, yeah. Because they knew it was stupid.
That was a little BS. Yeah,
they knew this was stupid. A stupid plot line.
So Loomis is at the cemetery. The groundskeeper is telling him a story. Now, I'm sure most of you out there have seen this movie, and the groundskeeper is telling Loomis about this story about how a gentleman was eating dinner with his family, his wife and kids, and then he gets up, he goes downstairs, he has a drink, and then he comes back, or he goes to the garage, he grabs an axe, and then he comes back into the house, and just as he's telling this part of the story, they come up to Judith Myers' gravestone and it's missing.
He proceeds to go to whatever and then
I want to know what the entire backstory to that story is.
Did you look it up? Did you goggle it?
No.
Maybe you should. I'm
sure, because they never finish it and it's never brought up again in any other movie.
At some point they had to have like come up with something, like on Inglourious Basterds. There's actually a movie, the movie about Frederick Zoller.
Yeah.
That you could watch. Yeah, it was actually
Nation's Pride.
Yeah, they actually made a movie.
Right.
A short film.
Right.
Right. For that. So I can't think that, well, we're a lot more distinguished now, but I can't think that back then that they wouldn't have had some sort of something.
I mean, well, it would be completely fan based or fan theory.
Yeah.
So, but I would really like to know what the actual, like the entire story that he was going to tell.
Yeah.
And it just gets cut off and it's kind of a disappointment.
Oh, maybe there's a Reddit. Should look it up. I bet there's a Reddit.
Probably, yeah. But again, that would be fan theory because it's never brought up again. So.
Yeah, well, I know. Fans are kind of psychos, if you ask me.
As we watch the movie and talk about it.
We've watched it like 50 times.
So Annie and Lori smoke a joint. They run into Sheriff Brackett, who is Annie's father, because he's at a hardware store where apparently somebody had broken in, taken some rope, a knives, or some knives, and a mask.
A Halloween mask.
At a hardware store.
Because there where you go when you're looking for the best Halloween costume.
Well, maybe Haddonfield's a smaller town than we give it credit for. I don't know. So Loomis and Brackett, they end up going to...
He gets a Halloween mask and all the necessary materials he would need to kill someone. And well, nobody thought to like wonder about that.
Well, Sheriff Brackett even says, "Oh, you know, there was some rope stolen, a couple knives, and a Halloween some Halloween mask."
What the hell does he think they're going to do with that?
Well, and then he says,
"It's like, Halloween.
Who do you think is going to use that?"
Yeah,
you know, inferring that you know teens are going to use it, but obviously, you know, Michael's in his what? Well, he was 6 when he killed his Judith, so he would be 21, 22,
yeah,
roughly. So, yeah. So. Loomis and Brackett go to Mikey's house. They find a dead dog. Was it a dog or was it a skunk? I don't know, but whatever it was.
A dog.
So it was a mutilated dog that obviously Mikey had been eating on. Lori reads some comics with Tommy. Annie makes some popcorn and then eventually gets stuck in a window trying to do the laundry because she spilled butter on her shorts or pants or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy... Who do you find more annoying, Tommy or
Lindsay Wallace, yeah. Who is Brett?
I know she's on the Real Housewives. She's
one of the Hiltons, Brett something. She's Paris Hilton's aunt.
Is she?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
Yeah, yeah.
I know she's on that Real Housewives show.
I can't for the life of me. I can't remember her last name, but yeah, Lindsay Wallace is Paris Hilton's aunt.
Okay. So who do you find more annoying, Tommy or Lindsay?
That's a toughie because
Lindsay doesn't really talk in the movie.
No, but Tommy, when Lonnie was like heckling him at school, he falls over and crushes his pumpkin and just walks away.
He's kind of a bitch.
Yeah, grow some balls. You're both the same size. Stand up for yourself. Dude, you just wrecked my fucking pumpkin. Well, you're going to replace it.
To be fair, though,
Tommy, nowadays that pumpkin would cost what?
Probably $7.50.
Right.
Lonnie was with his group of friends, though, so and it wouldn't have been a fair fight.
I know, and we've always brought this up. Why would he be carrying a pumpkin home from school?
And that was a big fucking pumpkin.
Yeah, I can understand.
No teacher gonna give that pumpkin away.
I think I remember taking home like a decorated miniature little pumpkin, like that they have.
Yeah,
that you would paint.
They were tiny, like yeah, a pie pumpkin.
But it wasn't like a huge pumpkin. And who knows? Back then, this was before they had all
genetically modified.
Yeah. GMO pumpkins.
Oh, it was a prized pumpkin that Tommy was carrying.
Yeah, well, back then they didn't have like the fluorescent orange. It was just like a regular pumpkin.
Oh yeah, it was just like a regular like traffic cone orange.
Yeah, yeah. And nowadays we have like the vibrant fluorescent orange, and I don't know if they've been genetically modified to have like less seeds or who they could do all of that stuff.
Oh, I'm sure they can.
But this pumpkin had to have weighed maybe like at least 15, 20 pounds for a little kid like that.
10, 15, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Hey, and he's hauling that thing around the school.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, look at my
pumpkin. And those little assholes go and like heckle him, and then he falls and he breaks the pumpkin, which is, you know.
It's devastating for a kid, though.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, well, he was probably going to take that pumpkin home.
I think he was planning on carving it with Lori.
Is that a Luke Skywalker or an astronaut costume that he's wearing?
I can't tell. I think it's just a space costume. I don't think it's definitely not Luke Skywalker. I think it's just an astronaut. I can't see what his patches say.
It's not a very good costume, but of course, we're from the era where we had the plastic costumes with the cheap mask.
Oh, those, you know.
Yeah.
Probably worth a fortune now, though.
Yeah, they are. You know, wearing the mask, and you could like smell your breath. It was as it was blowing back. And you could feel, even as a kid, you could feel yourself sweating in this plastic like dress costume.
And it had that little patch of styrofoam over the like on the forehead.
And then you had the from the elastic band around the back of your head.
You had that line.
The line that didn't go away. And then, of course, you'd have your pillowcase.
And you went to school the next day. You still had the line.
They didn't have, like, you know, trick-or-treating, like,
no
things.
The reflective bags.
Right. No, now. We had pillowcases.
Mm-hmm.
And we could fill that entire friggin' pillowcase up.
Well, you lived in the city, so it would have been easier for you.
Oh, it was like Halloween lasted like hours and hours and hours.
Yeah.
And they didn't care, like, if, no, Halloween's not over. If it's midnight, no. No, we're still handing out candy. When I was younger, that they just did it until people stopped coming.
Yeah.
That's why you got, like, the pennies and...
the toothbrushes.
Yeah, anything that they could find to put in the in the Halloween pillow. I don't even know what you would call it.
What was your worst? Would it be the pennies?
Pennies were bad.
Your worst treat?
I think there were a couple occasions where we had, like, homemade Rice Krispie treat balls.
Or the popcorn balls.
Yeah, yeah.
Popcorn balls were nasty.
Yeah, and my mom said, nah, you're not eating those.
Yeah, I would say the popcorn balls, or I never liked the, not a big fan of Milk Duds. I'll eat them, but I was never a big fan of them.
Yeah, yeah. I never liked, there's a lot of stuff I didn't like, what they would put in there. If it was like the strawberry hard candy.
The one with the jelly inside?
Yeah, yeah. Those were nasty. That was like...
Oh, no, the peanut butter taffy.
Yeah, that was bad. Yeah. Or they had the banana flavored taffy.
Yeah. Yeah, those are gross.
Those were the ones that we would eat in, like, probably around April. Because you're getting towards the end of your Halloween stash.
The very last thing that's left.
And you're willing to eat pretty much anything at that point.
So. Okay, here's a question for our listeners. What is your worst Halloween treat? What is it that you got when you were a kid that you disliked the absolute most and did not eat until the very, very end? Or you'd give it away to, like, your mom or dad or your siblings. Oh, I'll trade you this peanut butter taffy for that Snickers, you know. So, yeah, question to our listeners. What was your worst candy that you got when you were young? Let us know.
Hey, this is Sammy from Barrel Age Chicks, and I'm here with Yen.
Hey, everybody.
How you doing, Yen?
I'm feeling amazing.
Yes, you are. Well, what we're here to do today is talk about where you can find Barrel Age Chicks. You can find us on Google Podcasts,
Apple Podcasts,
Spotify,
Anchor,
and Good Pods.
Yep.
On the Barrel Age Chicks, we have myself, Sammy. We have
Yen,
of course. And then we have Snow, Crystal, and Harley.
Yep.
We enjoy talking about everything from movies to being current moms to being just... the ladies of the Barrel Age Flicks boys and their shenanigans in general.
Please join us without kids. Thank you.
Yes, our podcast is explicit content, so it is definitely not for little ears. But come out, let your hair down, and hear the chick side of things. It's a shit show.
Please join us. We need some mom time.
So, okay, Tommy says he sees the boogeyman. Oh, Annie spills the butter. She goes out into the, in Illinois, you're not going to have a laundry room that's in a separate building.
No, no.
First of all.
Yeah.
Especially not in October.
Yeah. You're not going to want to go into the garage to do your laundry.
So, let's see.
Had they apparently had not thought about that ahead of time.
No, you know, I know they tried to do this on a budget, and they did it in California. Or wherever, excuse me.
It probably would have been cheaper just to do it in Illinois.
I would, honestly, I would think so. The biggest, man, yeah, I'm burpy. we're both gassy. The biggest issue would have been shipping shit out there. That's all I can think of.
Oh, they could have taken everything that they had, all the props, they could have taken out there in, like, a U-Haul.
Well, honestly, yeah, you're probably right. Because it's not like they couldn't find this stuff, because there's no, like, real set pieces.
Yeah.
Except for Michael's house.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you're probably right. It would have been cheaper in Illinois. But anyway, okay. So, okay. Annie does the laundry. She gets stuck in a window. Tommy and Lindsay have a movie date. They're watching The Original Thing, which was redirected by John Carpenter in the... So... I'm not sure of the date on that one. So they watched the original thing. let's see. Annie loses her car keys. Oh, she goes to pick up her boyfriend. She wants to pick up her boyfriend. She goes to get her keys. Okay. Annie gets a phone call. She's stuck in the window. Lindsay comes out. She says, hey, you know, your boyfriend's on the phone. Why don't you come in and talk to him? So Annie goes to get in the car. She doesn't have her keys. She goes into the house. She comes back out to the garage. And then, lo and behold, the car door is open. And this is actually the first death of the movie. Michael ends up killing Judith. Annie gets killed in the car. She doesn't realize that Michael's in the back seat. The windows are all steamed up because he's been breathing in there. It's cold outside, whatever. And she gets stabbed through the back of the car seat. And she falls onto the window. Or not falls onto the window. Falls onto the steering wheel. The horn's blaring, blah, blah, blah. Let's see. Mikey gives Annie a little poke in the car. Okay. Lonnie and his friends go up to Mikey's house, his old house. And again, Michael's house is all like dilapidated and beat up and worn down and everything. And this is where Dr. Loomis has a little giggle for himself. He's like, hey, Lonnie, get your ass away from there. So, you know, and he has a little chuckle. And that's really like the only
comic relief. Yeah,
the comic relief in the movie. Bob and Linda come over to a house. I don't know whose house it is, but they go to the house. They're having their little date.
Oh, it was not Brent. It's Kyle Richards. Sorry.
Oh, Kylie Richards?
No, Kyle.
Is it Kyle?
It's Kyle.
Oh, okay.
Kyle.
How do you spell it?
K-Y-L-E.
Kylie. Kyle?
It's Kyle. Yeah, maybe I should do hold on.
Stupefied. Yeah. Okay. While she's looking that up, I always thought it was Kylie Richards. But anyway.
Hold on.
Linda and Bob, they attempt to make a baby. Linda.
Kyle Richards.
It's Kyle.
Her first name is Kyle.
Yeah.
I could have swore it was Kylie. Well,
they're Hiltons. They don't care.
Well, yeah, that's true. They're probably rich as fuck. But okay, so Kyle Richards, Lindsay. Linda and Bob try to make a baby. Linda can't get Bob's ghost. And you see boobs.
Mm-hmm.
And then Linda makes a phone call. She calls Lori. I should say Charlie. She calls Charlie. Charlie is Linda. Linda is Charlie.
This is going nowhere.
Einhorn is Finkel. Finkel is Einhorn. Let's see. Linda calls Lori, Charlie, mm-hmm. and she's making obscene chewing sounds.
Yeah, she calls Lori because this is going nowhere. She calls Lori and Lori answers the phone and you hear. And Lori is like, Linda, is that you? Or something like that. Something completely like.
No, I'm hearing obscene phone calls. Yeah. That's what I mean. Lori is just so oblivious. She is on the spectrum.
Yeah, but a sociopath is not going to like associate anything that they don't understand as anything that's like worthy of understanding.
Yeah, but a sociopath is observant. A sociopath is able to read the room. A sociopath is smarter than the average bear.
I don't know.
Take for example.
Okay, I will say this.
Patrick Bateman from
American Psycho.
American Psycho.
I will say this.
How did I not get that before you?
You would have to be extremely not with it to recognize the writing on the wall for Lori. And she's got all of the elements of something bad happening right in front of her, but she's not seeing it.
She is completely oblivious.
Yeah.
That is not psychopathy or sociopathy. That is a spectrum thing. That is being on the spectrum, not reading the room, not getting the social cues.
Right, but she's good with kids. I this would be like one for an expert, somebody that knows something about it.
I'm telling you, they wrote her to be on the spectrum. They don't know that they wrote her to be on the spectrum.
Well, they wrote her to be the protagonist, and I'm pretty sure that it had something to do with the fact that her dad was Tony Curtis, and her mom was Janet Lee?
Janet Lee, right.
Yeah, two very attractive people that ended up having Jamie Lee.
Yeah, I'm telling you, she is on the spectrum.
Like in real life or?
No. In the film.
Oh, I don't like her in real life.
I don't like her in real life either.
The fact that is it Christopher Guest or Richard Guest?
Christopher.
That she's married. That is so disappointing. Just because I loved him in This is Spinal Tap. He was good.
This is Spinal Tap.
And Best in Show. Yeah. And then when I found out that he was married to her, I just think I'm not like downplaying like her acting or whatever, you know. I mean, an actor can only do what the director tells them, right?
Right.
But from what I've heard, when she's doing like red carpet interviews and stuff, she's very rude.
She's a bitch.
Yeah.
I've heard that too.
And I don't see Christopher Guest as being like that. Uh-uh. You know, because when you're funny like he is.
But her in this movie, I'm telling you, she is on the spectrum.
Yeah. But I should say.
Wait, say that again.
Huh?
Said, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But I should say that just because Christopher Guest was funny in This is Spinal Tap and funny in Best in Show, that's not necessarily doesn't mean that he's funny in real life. Because we know that an actor can be like funny.
Well, right. But
it all depends on the director, based, in my opinion.
Based on her character in this movie, I think she is on the spectrum.
Well, she's definitely infantile in a lot of things.
On the spectrum.
Yeah, she just, she's very smart, like book smart, but you can tell she likes hanging out with kids. Not so much that she likes kids, but she's relating to them because she's going through the comic books. She's carving pumpkins with them.
Because she's on the spectrum.
So, yeah, I don't know. That's a good, this would be a good subject for a film class to evaluate.
I think very much that she is.
It could be. I don't know. Like I said, she was quote unquote the scream queen, and
that she fell into
Well, yeah, and I don't know that she fell into it because her mom.
I'm not even that, but I mean, she fell into like all her friends died. Okay, so she had no choice but to be the scream queen.
But I don't Jamie Lee Curtis or Lori?
Lori.
Oh,
I don't think she's deserving as a scream queen.
Are you talking? Jamie Lee Curtis is considered the scream queen.
Oh, okay. Well, right.
Because Terror Train, and then yeah.
Jamie Lloyd is considered, or okay. Not Jamie Lloyd. Laurie Strode is considered the final girl. But I think everybody says that Jamie Lee Curtis is a scream queen. I don't know that that has anything to do with who her parents were, but I think it was all based on this movie and the fact that this movie launched her career. But I don't think she's deserving. As having that title.
I would venture to say, and this may be the unpopular vote, I don't think she's not like homely, but I don't think she would get as far as she has gotten in Hollywood if she didn't have Janet Leigh and Tony Curtis as her parents. She doesn't have the it factor, in my opinion. And when you're born into it, when you're a Nepo baby,
yeah,
you don't have to have the it factor.
No, I don't you do.
You got your parents' good name to go on.
Right.
And people want to see Curtis, right? Because Tony Curtis was in movies with Marilyn Monroe. He was like...
Yeah, I mean, he was a big guy.
Yeah.
Big
name super, like handsome and everybody, you know. I think that as long as her last name was Curtis and people knew who she was, it didn't quite matter so much about her acting nor her appearance. And there might be some people out there. What was it? What's that movie? That stupid movie that we watched. Where Arnold Schwarzenegger is the...
Oh, True Lies.
Yeah. Dumbest movie on the face of the earth. Yeah. If you ask me. Anyway, but she's a sex symbol in that movie, right?
Right.
But and she does a sexy dance and all that.
Yeah.
I know when a woman's sexy. I know when a woman's attractive. That right. did nothing for me.
I don't think it was supposed to be for women.
But the audience is supposed to think they wouldn't have put that part in the movie
if right.
they didn't think that there was some ooh, she's hot factor. Right?
I don't know.
And then you have if Arnold Schwarzenegger is married to her.
Yeah.
I mean, she was kind of like a nerd, whatever.
Yeah, but then she was.
She turns into the, you know, the sexy siren, right?
Right.
The sexy siren I wasn't buying.
Okay.
That's just me.
No, I get that.
And I can recognize when a woman's hot.
I understand that too.
She was not.
Okay. All right.
And I feel like True Lies was like a big blockbuster movie.
It was big.
And it accelerated or maybe sustained her career at some point.
Well, I mean, I don't remember when that was.
I think at this point, she's not really doing much that's not like independent or part of the Halloween franchise.
Yeah.
And I know that they're going to say, well, that happens to all actresses as they get older. But I don't think she had the it factor even at the very beginning. I liked her. And Trading Places, yeah. That she was. I liked her.
Yeah.
But it wasn't some like blockbuster, like runaway character that no, everybody's that was gonna like.
Kind of a nothing movie,
right? Right. And then Terror Train, same thing. Not that great.
Yeah.
If somebody can tell me about a movie, like a blockbuster movie that she's been in, where she like proved her acting chops, I'd be more than welcome to like watch it. But I really don't think that she has what it takes to be, you know, a Hollywood
superstar.
You're right. You know,
just because of this movie,
an A-list star. I don't think, and I feel like she is an A-list star and she doesn't deserve it. She only has it because of her parents. And I think there's a lot of people that are her age, same, you know, demographic, have better acting abilities and they're not going in as far as because they don't have Janet Leigh and Tony Curtis as their parents.
Okay. All right. Fair point.
I think that's bullshit. All right. It's just not fair.
All right. Well, hold that thought. All right. So we both agree that Jamie Lee Curtis is not the actress that everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
And before anybody starts dogging on me and my opinion, okay, Janet Leigh, she was strikingly beautiful. She had, the golden ratio. She was very attractive, and then you had Tony Curtis, which was all the women thought that he was great looking.
See, I always thought Tony Curtis was little.
Well, everybody thought that. but I mean, he was still not bad looking for a guy. The fact that they would come up with Jamie Lee Curtis,
I don't know. All right, let's get back to the movie.
Yeah, okay.
So, Lori starts finding the bodies of her friends. Oh, wait. So Bob gets stuck to the wall.
And we made, I do remember making a special note of this fact that we're not supposed to believe that Michael Myers drove him to stick to the wall with the knife until we saw his feet elevate from the floor.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That's a Hollywood trick.
That would be something we should put into the Oscars.
Yeah.
One of the most annoying tropes. Yeah.
It happened in every movie. Every movie they do that.
So yeah, Bob gets stuck to the wall. Linda gets choked out by the phone cord.
Bob's wearing the totally late 70s, early 80s aviator frame glasses.
Oh, those are like Mondo aviator frames.
And now they're popular, but everybody has like the high index lenses so you don't have the Coke bottles anymore.
So Lori goes across the street. She starts finding all her friends' bodies. The bodies are popping up in the car. They're popping up out of the off the ceiling. They're doing all this shit. And no one really gives a fuck. She goes and she runs to the neighbor's house, banging on the door, ringing the doorbell, pounding on the door. The lights go out.
Yeah, shitty neighbors.
Don't even care. Yeah, you know.
If somebody was like ringing our doorbell time and time again, it's not like you would be like frightened, but you'd be all like, who the hell is ringing my doorbell like that?
And my first thought would be like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah,
and then my second thought is if they kept ringing it, it'd be like, okay, maybe I should get up and investigate a little bit.
And what the hell is with these houses on the street? They're not passing out candy anymore, but they have the jack-o'-lantern lit on the porch.
Well, they're afraid of Sam. They know the rules of Halloween. Yeah, as, like Nancy said earlier, Lori does some knitting. She ends up sticking Michael in the neck with.
Did you notice? Sorry, I know I shouldn't interrupt you, but she has a knitting a basket.
Yeah.
With her crap in it.
Yeah.
And then on the handle, the acetate knitting bag handle, she has the name Lori.
Oh, I never did notice.
It's just such a lame thing that they added into it.
Huh. No, I did not. I don't think I've ever noticed that.
They thought, like the set designers thought that it would like drive the point home. This is real. But I noticed it just this last time that we watched it.
Yeah.
And we've seen it probably from in my life, I've probably seen it 60 times.
Yeah.
At least.
And this is the first time you've noticed it?
Yeah.
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 No, see, I've never noticed it. So she sticks Michael. She sticks Michael in the neck with a knitting needle. Mikey goes down, and then she runs, like, for whatever reason, she's, like, chilling out, relaxing, you know, shooting b-ball outside of school with a couple of friends, and Mikey pops up behind her. She goes running up the stairs. She hides in a closet. She's, you know, obviously scared. She's
hence
worried.
The scream quote.
Well,
running up the stairs when he should be going out the front door.
Ah, yeah, that's true. Also, yes. Yeah. Does she ever say she'll be right back?
I know it's probably been said though.
Yeah. So, okay.
Are Jamie Lee's tits? When do we get to see Jamie Lee's tits?
Jamie didn't show her tits until she went legit. Trading Places. 1985 or whatever movie, whatever year it was.
And she doesn't have a bad rack. It's just kind of like.
Okay.
I'm still going to leave it that there.
So she runs up. She hides in the closet. Mikey comes in. She hangs some clothes. She grabs a hanger, like stretches it out, sticks Mikey in the eye. And just at that point, Dr. Loomis comes running up the stairs. He shoots Michael 6 times, and he says it over and over again. I shot him 6 times.
Can I just ask, where the hell has he been up until this point? Was he, like,
probably trying
sitting around with his thumb up his butt, doing nothing?
Probably prowling the streets with Sheriff Brackett.
Scaring little innocent kids.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd call Lonnie innocent.
Okay, but still, where the hell has he been? He's her doctor, or he's his doctor. His doctor, and he should keep tabs on his patient.
Well, he didn't know that he didn't even know that he learned to drive.
Right.
How good of a doctor is he?
See, that's another thing that I wonder, because Loomis is his psychiatrist.
I don't know that they ever specify what kind of doctor he is.
If he was his psychiatrist, he would be more involved in, like, the chemicals in his brain that's causing his psychosis. But a psychologist is more about the person that studies their feelings and emotions and whatnot.
Well, Michael never talked.
And that's why I'm wondering.
He just stared at him.
Yeah.
Stared through the wall.
And we...
at the wall.
Right through the wall.
Seeing through it.
Yeah.
Not looking at the wall, but past
it. Not seeing the wall.
So, yeah.
I just feel like... with the continuity of the movie, you would wonder at this point where the hell Dr. Loomis is. Because he seems to be everywhere, except for at the end of the movie where he's supposed to be.
Right.
Except for the final hours.
But see, I think he was stalking Michael's house. He was kind of hanging out there hoping that Michael would come back.
At some point, he had to know that if he wasn't there, there's someplace else he's going to be.
He's a doctor, not a detective.
Right. Touche.
So, Loomis comes in, shoots Michael 6 times. Michael goes flying off over the rail, lands on the ground with a sickening thud. And then Lori asks, hey, was that the boogeyman? And Loomis says, as a matter of fact, it was. And then they look over the rail. Michael is gone. So, yeah, that's the movie.
With a perfect body print.
I do like that part.
In the grass. In case we didn't know where he landed.
They've got like the stamped out body print.
Because we're all idiots and we can't decipher ourselves that he fell onto the grass.
So, Okay. What do you put this on the gore score?
Gore score? Yeah. Oh, I'd have to let me think here. Gore score? I was gonna say something, but it was on Friday the 13th that we just watched before this. they really didn't have any of the stuff that Friday the 13th offered, the first one with like the slit neck.
Yeah.
This
is like on a level of like Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It's more about what you don't see.
Yeah. You have to think.
It's all implied.
So gore score would be really tough. I would say a 2.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then your overall score.
Overall score, I give this an 8, a solid 8.
Okay.
Because you, as you know.
I know you like this.
It's the rewatchability factor.
Right.
We watch it multiple times every year around Halloween time.
Right.
Even if it's shit, we always find something that we didn't notice the last time we watched it. And we had some good memories watching it.
Yeah. 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 I can't put this any, like you said, about a 2. Mm-hmm. Because there really is no gore.
There really isn't. It's a psychological thriller, but they didn't have those back then.
I think the worst part the worst gore is probably the mutilated dog that's laying in the Myers house.
The scene where Annie's in the car, the acting is so bad.
Well, it's that. They don't really I don't think it's like also, it's almost like they didn't know how to act because it really hadn't been done at that point.
The same thing with Linda with the telephone cord. Yeah, the
phone cord.
She was horrible too. And she was horrible. Well, I didn't like her in Stripes. She's just not my favorite actress.
Back in the day, they didn't have cell phones. So they actually had phones that had cords attached from the handpiece to the base.
They were windy, windy, windy. Yeah,
like a spring almost.
Yeah, annoying, to say the least.
I always hated when they got twisted.
Well, right, and it depended on how long the cord was. That's how far you could have a personal phone call with anybody.
Right. I agree with your gore score. Definitely a 2. It's not very gory. I mean, it, it's more of the implied kills. Everybody dies, but it's more of the implied violence and gore. And then as far as the rewatchability or the overall score, I don't really like the Halloween series. I like Friday the 13th more. So I'm only going, I'll go with a 5.
See, I would put this along the lines of Trick or Treat. If I'm going to watch this movie, I'm going to want to watch Trick or Treat after this.
Right. Which, okay, I get that. So it is definitely a movie that will get you in the mood for Halloween or like the spooky season or fall or whatever. But like in terms of a franchise, I like Friday the 13th more than I like the Halloween series.
I think with both after the first, Halloween 3 was a train wreck, but
Halloween 3 is entertaining, though.
It is.
Even though it doesn't have anything to do with Michael Myers or Loomis.
It's entertainingly bad. I will give you that.
Right.
I think that Halloween 2 is good.
Yeah.
And I think that Friday the 13th 2 is good.
Right.
Beyond that, I think both of the franchises are complete shit.
Jump the shark, as you
say. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're just, you leave well enough alone.
Yeah. Well, they didn't. Yeah. Because they're still making them. And it, like CJ just said just this afternoon, and it's all over the news, Miramax has bought the rights to Halloween, so they're going to make a Halloween TV show.
And I'm not going to watch it.
We probably will.
I'm not.
Come on. No, I mean, be honest.
If you're a fan of OG, you're not going to want to watch. Will you want to watch a Halloween show that takes place in 2023?
We watched all the new ones. I don't know what the details of the show are going to be.
If it comes back with like rave reviews, I'll watch it. But I really don't see in this day and age what they can do with CGI. It's just they kind of like it. It doesn't do it for me. I don't know.
All right. Okay, fair enough. So, yeah,
I'm a purist.
you're yeah, like you said, yeah, purist. Yeah, that's a good word for it. Okay, so I am Ben, she is Nancy. Together we are the butt cheeks and the asshole of Extreme Horror Replay. You can find us on all your major podcast platforms. We do have a Patreon if you'd like to check that out. $4, $6, and $8. Well, the $4 tier is only 13 cents a day, cheaper than a cup of coffee from Starbucks. That's for damn sure.
And you get access to a lot of embarrassing shit.
Yeah, you get ad-free, early access, and completely uncut. So every
stuff that I tell Ben, that's not going to be in the show. Yeah. No. Yeah. That's not going to be in the show. That will be in it.
You got to cut this part out.
Yeah, yeah. But that happens a lot too.
You will get all that on the Patreon. We do have a TeePublic, but the easiest way to find all that information is on Instagram at @XHR_podcast. And that is about it for this episode. So happy Friday the 13th. Of course, you won't hear this until well after the Friday the 13th, but I will say, capture your dreams and be nice to each other. And then I will turn the mic over to Nancy to say something probably pretty sarcastic. So
let's hitch our dreams.
Hitch our dreams to a star. Okay. All right. Oh, I snorted.
Shoot moonbeams home in a jar.
That's a TV show, isn't it?
Yeah, it was, I think, Out of This World.
Out of This World. Is that what it was?
The one with the robot girl.
Vicky.
Yeah.
Vicky was the robot girl. All
right. You old as fuck.
I remember that. Okay, so yeah, we are signing off. You all have a good week, and we will talk to you next time. Take care and be safe. Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. We don't like that.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll see y'all later.
Fuckers.